Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The disciples are locked up in their room. They are filled with anxiety and fear. They have just seen their rabbi captured, beaten, and hung on a cross to die, buried without the usual stuff, without the usual rituals. It says in this gospel that they were hiding for fear for their lives, fear of the people. And into the midst of them walks Jesus. It says in the gospel, the door was locked, and Jesus appeared before them, and he breathed on them and spoke to them, saying, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Seems almost anticlimactic, doesn't it? You would expect in this gospel that they would, it says that they rejoiced, but that they would be absolutely amazed and astounded and not a little bit afraid. Jesus has come in the midst of them and bid them peace. Shalom. Now, it doesn't sound like much of a greeting, and it shouldn't, because remember that for the folks for whom shalom is an important word, for our Jewish brothers and sisters, shalom can almost be a way to say, hello, shalom, God's peace be with you. But then, you know, we have that hymn, shalom, my friends, shalom. It doesn't go as good when it's just, hello, my friends, hello. It's not as good. Shalom is something in particular. It's a special kind of peace that God breathes on them and us. Well, you know, there are all kinds of peace. We talked about it a little bit with the kids. But this word is not Irene, which is a kind of colloquial peace. This is a special kind, and you know the peace that you want most, don't you? If you are a parent with young children, particularly if you happen to have lots of them. My mother had four boys, and every once in a while she would say, "For goodness sake, all I want is a little peace and quiet." It was a noisy house. Our governments for thousands of years have been trying to make peace. The problem is that we keep wanting to make that peace and still keep our power. So it doesn't ever work. There are all kinds of peace. That peace that comes from a quiet day up in the mountains, a kind of Zen peace that comes if you are practicing yoga. All kinds of peace. But this peace is God's peace. And this peace that Jesus wishes on the disciples and on us, it is a peace that is infused with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God that weaves through and in and for us. And it is rooted not in us, but in our relationship with God and with others. When Jesus wishes shalom on the people, it isn't a personal thing so much as it is weaving the people together in a new way. Shalom becomes the word for this new Easter people, for a new era. What will that peace look like? Well, for Jesus, that shalom means I have returned to be with you, and I call you to one another in a new way. Not only to put aside your differences, but to be infected with the Holy Spirit. And maybe it starts that way. But over time, something happened. I call it religion. If we are called to be the new Easter people of peace, why is it then that the Easter people are at such odds with each other all the time? I love it when people say to me, oh, so you're a pastor. And I say, oh yeah, I'm not that kind of pastor. And then they'll say, well, what kind are you? And I'll say, well, I'm a Lutheran pastor. Well, that usually throws them for a loop. But then if they happen to know about Lutherans, they know the question to ask, which flavor are you? It's our sign of a lack of shalom, right? We all started out together, and then we began to have arguments about how we would handle the sacraments, or which confessions we would believe in, or how exactly we would express things like the doctrine of atonement. And so we came up with our own little religions, and then we became all kinds of different Christians and all kinds of different Lutherans. And so now we have more Lutherans than you can show us, throw a stick at. There's so many of us that we can't all get together in one place. We would need stickers to know which flavor we were. Our religion got in the way of God's shalom. The Roman Catholics and the Lutherans argued. The Baptists argued. Oh, don't even start me with the Calvinists. What we lost for the sake of religion was God's shalom. We gave up peace so that we might keep our own power. We locked ourselves up in the room again so that we might be safe from the world. But God's shalom, God's peace, those words of Jesus draw us back out again. And the peace that Christ calls us to is rooted in that Holy Spirit. It's a peace that takes seriously God's call to be at one with the poor, to love those who are least like us, to maybe even gather in fellowship with those other kinds of Lutherans, God forbid, to come to table together, to be unafraid, to have courage to love in the way that God loved us. Because if you remember the gospel lesson for today, Jesus doesn't just say, peace be with you. He says, peace be with you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. The sins of any that you loose, give away, release, are released. The sins of any that you retain, and actually Pastor Johnson and I spoke between services, he said, any of the sins that you retain, as in, I'll hang on to yours until you're ready. I'll keep them for you. That's different than, I will remember them until the day you die. I will hold on to them for you until you are ready for forgiveness. You see, that shalom didn't just get breathed on the room and stay there. Jesus actually expected us to use it, to live it, to be that shalom in this new Easter age. And so Christ breathes on this community to be shalom, to live peace, to have wend through us that Holy Spirit that weaves itself into every fiber of our being and makes us new. The shalom that sees God in our neighbor and our community, that calls us out of our steadfast and stuck-up religion and into a life of faith for the sake of God. And so peace be with you. In a little while, we'll have that chance to share that peace with one another. One of the great battles that every pastor goes through in one part of their life is to go to a church that says, Pastor, why do we have to share the peace? I know, you're shocked, aren't you, Nan? there are people who do not like to share the peace. And I don't mean to mock you, because I know some of you are sitting in the pew, but for goodness sake, every time I've had this argument in a church and they say, why do we have to share the peace? Because it just seems so artificial. It just disrupts the service. I don't want to have to touch those people. It's quite unsanitary, right? So here's the Lutheran Church of Honolulu answer. To heck with the Holy Spirit, we have germicide. But it is a place. It is a time where each week we can genuinely share the words of Jesus. Peace be with you and also with you. And so be God's shalom people, sharing that peace with one another and the world.